Help them to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Lord, let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the 6 Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same blessings so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with the COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first of all, those who've lost somebody due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, for the family and friends, we ask a special blessing, Lord Jesus, you could comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are actually dealing with COVID-19 right now, Lord Jesus, that you'd be able to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other kinds of situations, just like, Lord Jesus, you got mail. We need to learn to love one another as we love ourselves, and love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord Jesus. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of, and then we'll just see who's all with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast tonight. So let's take care of these few preliminary announcements as we get ready to get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Townsend. You're listening to the 6 Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to contact us via email, you may do so by using one of the following email addresses. If you wish to contact me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, use the email address feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, the letter N as Nancy, then touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, King, like the guy who sits on the throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. If you wish to contact Ruth, you contact her by using KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's again, K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611. R is Randy, U is Umbrella, T is Tom, H is Henry, @gmail.com. In your subject line, just put what you're in reference to, you wanting to get a hold of us, whether it's my email address about whatever it may be, or Ruth, you would put Bible prophecy, and then refer in your message to your subject line, and we will not only read your email, but we will get back in contact with you.
Started from humble beginnings in a basement. Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the 6 Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs. The Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program, Kenneth Wolfgang, he's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel. The Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you.
Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Groover takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Trucking of Astabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries, I even heard they hauled pets at one time. Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2, F-O-R, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Astabula. Blind Trucking of Astabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right. Come on now.
All right.
Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's P-A-Y-P-A-L.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen. Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you. Never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio. This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us this afternoon?
Well, we have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost Band of Angels. We have you. We have Sister Emily, Sister Lila, Em's dad, and me. And I want you guys to pray for me tonight. My back is killing me.
Okay, well, if it's killing you, we'll have to remind it, thou shalt not kill.
Amen.
All right, Sister Emily, Sister Lila, how y'all doing tonight? Don't all talk at once now.
Kenny.
Get your coffee.
Hey, Kenny.
Yeah.
If it's killing her, do we have to call the cops on it?
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
You're cute, Em.
Just beat you, King, Mr. Wolfgang.
All right.
Your tongue, you're kind of garbled.
All right. And tonight we got a good show in store for you tonight. Got a question for both of you. Have you guys ever heard of what they call the drink offering?
No.
Well, tonight we're going to, as we've been studying about alcohol and drinking. And tonight's study is specifically geared to the drink offering. It has to do with the offerings that were given to the Lord, and this one had to do with the drink offering. What is the drink offering? Who was it for? What was it? And who was it intended for? All of that we're going to cover tonight, okay?
Okay.
So as we study that, then, in the midst of it, of course, we're going to have Six, see if he can tell us the message in song and poem. Of course, if he gets the bad buzzer, there's still a chance that he may use sound effects that may affect those who have PTSD and other related issues. So we want to warn our listeners about that. Then, of course, after our study on the drink offering, in specifically alcohol and drinking, then we're going to get into Ruth's Bible prophecy. And where are you taking us tonight, Ruth?
Well, we're doing it through the Black Horse. It's one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, which you guys know I've covered before.
Ooh, the Black Horse. Mm. What'd someone do, paint it black?
You'll find out when I read
it.
What'd you say, Lila?
Satan may have kind of
leaded
to temptation.
Yeah. So we got a black horse that she's going to be talking about. Wonder, like I said, did someone paint it black, or was it born black? So we're going to find out what this black horse is, what it's about, and that kind of thing. What that has to do with Bible prophecy. Then, of course, after Ruth's Bible prophecy is complete, we're going to open the mics up again, of course, for our question of the day. As always, has neither a correct or incorrect answer. It's based upon your opinion. And then we close with a word of prayer and our Red Sylvine song, of course, to end out the program. So, all right, you guys got any other comments or questions before we get started?
I do have a question.
All right.
It pertains to the ministry. If it's possible, can I talk to you and Sister Emily later? It pertains to flying junkies.
Okay, well, that's something that we should be talking off the air, Lila, and you shouldn't even be bringing up on this program.
That's kind of the same as the blind trucking.
Well, like I said, it's something that you should bring up off the show. You should call us later after the show, but not on the show. You shouldn't be asking us on the show.
I'm sorry, my OC. I forgot.
Okay.
Do you want 6 after your hiney?
No, thank you. That's why you figured it's why I said my oopsie. Sister Emily. You figured I said my oopsie.
So
I did have a little black moment there.
So just reminding you, Lila, that's not the appropriate time, okay? So
Yeah, all right. That's why I said my oopsie.
Yeah, I am.
Hey, Ken.
Uh-huh.
I was going to be asking the listeners to be keeping me in prayer. I've been having this issue with my living situation that somehow it'll get worked out to where I don't end up having to hop from place to place to place.
Okay. Well, the Lord knows exactly what you're talking about, and he'd take care of it.
Lila, you're getting up old.
I do have a prayer request. It pertains to what is going on with me. I'd like the show and the listeners to please keep me in their prayers for the 20th, which is a Monday this month. I have to go in for injections in the spine. So keep
okay.
me in the please.
All right. Well, is everybody ready for a good show then?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get started. Get out your pad, pencil, note taker, braille writer, whatever, and get ready to get your notes taken as to this issue, like I said, on the drink offering. How does it pertain to drinking in the Bible? And, of course, Ruth's Bible Prophecy, the Black Horse. And we'll get started tonight, and here we go.
For those of you who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, you'll be able to press the number one during the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. How many people do you know that drink just about anything? We're talking whiskey, beer, hard stuff, soft stuff, whatever. How many people do you know that drink any of that kind of stuff? A lot? Or whatever? And what are they like? How many people do you know that drink whatever they can put their hands on, hard stuff, soft stuff, whatever, beer, whatever, wine, whatever it is, and what are they like? Amen. But right now we're going to get into our study of alcohol and drinking, and this night we're going to be talking about what's in the Bible known as the drink offering, the drink offering. What is the drink offering, and what was it used for? All right, so let's get into our topic of the drink offering, and our first scripture reference is found in Exodus chapter 29, verses 38 to 42. Exodus chapter 29, verses 38 to 42. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Now, this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, 2 lambs of the first year, day by day continuing. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with the one lamb a tenth deal of flour, mingled with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and thou shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle, the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee.
All right, as we start off, we find that the drink offering has to do with the offerings of the Lord. So we now first know that the drink offering has to do with the offerings of the Lord. So when you're offering your bullock or whatever, you had to also offer a drink offering, which was wine. All right. And our next scripture context is found in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 9 to 14. Leviticus 23, verses 9 to 14. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the firstfruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow. After the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it, and ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of hin. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings.
All right. Once again, we still find that the drink offering is something that is put with a lamb or goat or whatever for the offerings of the Lord. And in this case is when they were giving the harvest offering, the sheaf that was to be waved, which obviously went to the priest. They were to give a lamb or goat there, and then they were to give their drink offering with it, which was, once again, wine. All right, and our next scripture context is found in Numbers chapter 15, verses 1 through 12. Numbers chapter 15, verses 1 through 12. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land of your habitations, which I give unto you, and will make an offering by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, or a sacrifice in performing a vow, or in a freewill offering, or in your solemn feasts, to make a sweet savor unto the Lord of the herd or of the flock. Then shall he that offereth his offering unto the Lord bring a meat offering of a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of a hin of oil. And the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering shall thou prepare with the burnt offering or sacrifice for one lamb. Or for a ram thou shalt prepare for a meat offering 2/10 deals of flour mingled with the third part of a hin of oil. And for a drink offering thou shalt offer the third part of a hin of wine for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And when thou preparest a bullock for a burnt offering, or for a sacrifice in performing a vow, or peace offerings unto the Lord, then shall he bring with a bullock a meat offering of 3/10 deals of flour mingled with a half a hin of oil. And thou shalt bring for a drink offering half a hin of wine for an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Thus shall it be done for one bullock, or for one ram, or for a lamb or a kid, according to the number that ye shall prepare, so shall ye do to everyone according to their number.
And once again, we find that for each type of animal that was offered as an offering, there was given a meat offering, and then, of course, its drink offering, which was wine once again. Wine once again. But we're still studying to see what the purpose for that wine was. Was it to be poured onto the offering as a drink offering, or was it used for another purpose? We're still trying to find that out tonight. So let us continue with our next Bible verse context and see where that takes us, which is found in Numbers chapter 18, verses 8 through 15. Numbers chapter 18, verses 8 through 15. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And the Lord spake unto Aaron, Behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings. Of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel, unto thee have I given them, by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. This shall be thine of the most holy things, reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, and every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. In the most holy place shalt thou eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy unto thee. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them unto thee, and to thy sons, and to thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. Everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. All the best of the oil, and all the best of the wine, and of the wheat, the first fruits, of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land, which they shall bring unto the Lord, shall be thine. Everyone that is clean in thine house shall eat of it. Everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. Everything that openeth the matrix in all flesh, which they bring unto the Lord, whether it be of men or beasts, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shalt thou surely redeem, and the firstling of unclean beasts shalt thou redeem.
Well, did you catch who it's for, or what it's for, the drink offering? It told us in this text, it was for the priests. It wasn't supposed to be poured out on the altar. No, it was kept for the priests. Isn't that interesting? The drink offering was kept for the priest, along with the wave shoulder, the heave breast, basically part of the tithe of which they were to be kept, and the wine. The best of the wine, you notice how it says this, was to be the priest's part. Amen. So we now know who and what purpose the wine in the drink offering was for. Amen. It was to help support the priests because they had no inheritance. When you read the whole context of Numbers chapter 18, you find it was because the priests had no inheritance or part in the land of Israel. It was their due, their inheritance. Amen. All right, well, we'll continue in our study of the drink offering. In our next section here, in our next scripture text, which is found in Numbers chapter 28, verses 1 to 15. Numbers chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, and say unto them, My offering and my bread, for my sacrifices made by fire, for a sweet savor unto me, shall ye observe to offer unto me in their due season. And thou shalt say unto them, This is the offering made by fire, which ye shall offer unto the Lord, two lambs of the first year, without spot, day by day, for a continual burnt offering. The one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at even. And the tenth part of an ephah of flour for a meat offering, mingled with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil, if the continual burnt offering, which was ordained in Mount Sinai for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And the drink offering thereof shall be the fourth part of a hin for the one lamb. In the holy place shalt thou cause the strong wine to be poured unto the Lord for a drink offering, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at even, as the meat offering of the morning, and as the drink offering thereof, thou shalt offer it, a sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot, and two-tenths deals of flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil in the drink offering thereof. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath beside the continual burnt offering and the drink offering. And in the beginnings of your months ye shall offer a burnt offering unto the Lord, two young bullocks and one ram, seven lambs of the first year without spot, and three-tenths deals of flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil for one bullock, and two-tenths deals of flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil for one ram. And a several tenths deal of flour mingled with oil for a meat offering unto one lamb, for a burnt offering of a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And their drink offering shall be half a hin of wine unto a bullock, and the third part of a hin unto a ram, and a fourth part of a hin unto a lamb. This is the burnt offering of every month throughout the months of the year. And one kid of the goats for a sin offering unto the Lord shall be offered beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering.
Now we find something interesting in this section. Certain offerings, though, with their drink offering, were to be poured out before the Lord, you see. So not every drink offering was given to the priest, but certain ones were, while others were poured out before the Lord. So they were obviously poured into the with the offering onto the fire and burnt. So it depends on the offering as to whether the wine was poured out or drunk. Amen. All right, and now for our last scripture context before Six has to guess our message and song and poem is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 26 to 30. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 26 to 30. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
For these Levites, the four chief porters, were in their set office and were over the chambers and treasuries of the house of God. And they lodged around about the house of God because the charge was upon them, and the opening thereof every morning pertained to them. And certain of them had the charge of the ministering vessels, that they should bring them in and out by talc, or tail, I think that is, yeah. Some of them also were appointed to oversee the vessels and all the instruments of the sanctuary, and the fine flour, and the wine, and the oil, and the frankincense, and the spices. And some of the sons of the priests made the ointment of the spices.
And here we find these specific Levites or priests doing their tasks, opening and closing the doors, preparing the different offerings, and being in charge over the wine, etc. Amen. And our next scripture context is found in, which I am getting a little ahead of myself. Right now, we're going to turn the mic over to Brother Six, actually, and see if he could guess the message in this song and in this poem. Amen.
Father, I stretch my hand to thee. The Bible tells me in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The world is looking for Christians, looking for men, women, boys and girls who will allow the invisible to become visible. God is a spirit. We that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Christendom gives opportunities for self-examination. Yes, my brothers and sisters, we are created with the ability to stretch our hands to him. I do believe, I now believe, that Jesus died for me, and through his precious blood, I shall be made free. I do believe for comfort in the time of sorrow. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For relief in the time of suffering, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For guidance in the time of decision, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For protection in the time of danger, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For courage in a time of fear, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For strength in a time of temptation, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. I do believe, I now believe.
God above, bless this man I guide and help me keep him alive. Be my mortal sight this day on streets where little children play. Bless my master fast asleep when the night is long and deep, and keep my handler safe and sound through the hours big and round. Make my judgment sound as steel and be his hand upon the wheel. Bless the traveler going past and teach him not to go so fast. Give me strength for every trip, so I may care for what I ship, and make me mindful every mile that our lives are but a little while. Amen.
All right, Six, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
I believe the common thread of the message and poem is to ask God for guidance. That's all. I could hardly hear that song, so stretch out my hand to thee. It was very low, so I guess the common message, take God everywhere you go.
Well, In this case, you are 100% correct. Take everywhere you God you go, because a leader dog that's praying wants God to go with him everywhere he guides his master. Amen.
Yeah. Whatever you do, be it drinking coffee, eating dinner, whatever you're doing, put God first. If you're creating, working, put God first in all that you do, and you'll have a better success, because what greater CEO or navigator than God?
Amen, amen. And we're going to let our great CEO guide us into how we have some great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. All right, we're back and want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. You can ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. How many people do you know that drink just about anything they can get their hands on? That could be whiskey, beer, wine, whatever. Put their hands on anything they can drink. And then, what are they like? How many people do you know that drink anything they can put their hands on, and what are they like? Amen. But right now, we're going to finally get back into our study of alcohol and drinking, specifically the drink offering, and we're learning some very interesting things about the drink offering, who it's for, and what it's about, and our next scripture context is found in Nehemiah chapter 10, verses 34 to 39. Nehemiah chapter 10, verses 34 to 39. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
We cast the lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering to bring it into the house of our God after the houses of our fathers at times appointed year by year to burn upon the altar of the Lord our God as it is written in the law. And to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees, year by year, unto the house of the Lord. Also the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks to bring to the house of our God, unto the priests that minister in the house of our God. And that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and of oil unto the priests, to the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage, And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites take tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes unto the house of our God, to the chambers, into the treasure house. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn, of the new wine, and the oil unto the chambers where all are the vessels, of the sanctuary, and the priests that minister, and the porters, and the singers, and we will not forsake the house of our God.
This will take you back, dear listener, a little bit, won't it? To our series on tithing, that nice, long, drawn-out series, where we found that tithes had nothing to do with money. But as we find even in this text tonight, it has to do with foodstuffs. And as we found in Numbers chapter 18, which was also a very familiar passage, it was for the priests because they had no inheritance. And here we find part of that tithe, as it said in Numbers chapter 18, was for the priests. That was the purpose of the drink offering. Part of that drink offering was to support the priests so they could have wine. They were not told that you had to be sober and not drink. In this case, they were told you had to be abstinent and not look upon the wine when it is red, which we'll be covering, of course. We'll be getting to that scripture yet. But that's not what they were told. The priests were told they could wine. They just couldn't be drunk with wine, wherein there was excess, which we'll also cover later. So, basically, they were told they could have wine, they just couldn't be drunk with it. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 1 to 14. Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 1 to 14. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
On that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse unto a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. And before this, Eliashib, the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the offerings of the priests. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah, in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled, every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil unto the treasuries. And I made treasures over the treasuries, Shelemiah the priest and Zadok the scribe and of the Levites, Pedaiah, and next to them was Hanan, the son of Zakur, the son of Matanah. For they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute unto their brethren. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof.
And you see what happened here? Exactly what led up into Malachi chapter 3. As we studied in tithing. They sit there. The people were not giving. They first were giving tithe. But then people like this one priest was hoarding for himself, made himself a chamber, was not giving to his brethren like they were supposed to. And so these other guys said, hey, we got to eat too. So they fled to their own fields. They forsook the house of God. The people saw it, and they forsook the house of God and forsook giving, just like what happened with Eli and his sons. And this Nehemiah had to come forward and say, look, this ain't right. And so he had to clean out that chamber and restart from scratch and get them guys doing what they had to do and get some people appointed over it to make sure the job got done, which shouldn't have had to even been done. They shouldn't have had to appoint people to make sure that the people, that the other priests were taken care of and stuff like that. They should have wanted to do it the right way the first time. But no, they just were too greedy. The one was too greedy and had a spirit of the devil in him and thus ruined the whole thing. And that's why when you get up to Malachi, you find God saying, will a man rob God? Oh, yeah, they will. Because they're so greedy for their own self that they forget that they're doing it for God. And when they end up, they're not only robbing God of the offerings because the people quit giving, but yet they're also robbing their self. All right, our next scripture context is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 to 12. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 to 12. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth.
And here we find that if you obey God, he said he's going to make sure your barns are full of what they're supposed to have, including wine. Amen. All right. And our next scripture context is found in Hosea chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Hosea chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy, as other people, for thou hast gone a-whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. The floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fall in her. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted, for their bread for their soul shall not come into the house of the Lord. What we do in the solemn day and in the day of the feast of the Lord.
And here we find, of course, they're talking about the wine offering or drink offering again, and it, of course, being wine as we've studied throughout the night. All right, and our last scripture context of the day is found in Joel chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. Joel chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation, that which the pamelworm hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted, the land mourneth. For the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. Howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree. The palm tree also and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field, are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men.
And here we find how Joel talks about the drink offering. It's cut off, and the offerings are cut off from the house of God, once again, because of what? The sin of the people. And that goes over there to what Malachi also said. Amen. So what do we learn tonight? We learned specifically that the drink offering was wine. It was meant for, there was some occasions it was meant to be poured out for God, while others it was meant specifically for the priests. Amen. And that's what we learned tonight about the drink offering. And it was a specific amount that was measured according to the animal being sacrificed. Amen. But once again, I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. How many people do you know that drink anything they can get their hands on? That might be wine, beer, whiskey, hard drink, whatever. And what are they like? How many people do you know that drink anything they can put their hands on? And what are they like? Amen. But right now we're going to pause for a little station ID and a couple, pay a few other bills, and we'll be right back with you. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network. Started from humble beginnings in a basement. Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs. The Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program. Kenneth Wolfgang. He's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel, the Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you. Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio. This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Prophecies in the Bible, I want to discuss the black horse with you. I want you to look with me at information contained in news releases which have appeared in newspapers and magazines over the past years. First one concerns an editorial which appeared on November 22, 1965 in the San Bernardino Sun, a morning newspaper published in Southern California. The editor, Mr. David Ockley, wrote in his morning editorial, "From the Rio Grande to Cape Horn is every second coffin carried toward a grave is the body of a child who could live no longer than 5 years. Among children aged 1 to 4, half the deaths are attributed to malnutrition." This heart-touching editorial showed how slow starvation and malnutrition took a tremendous toll in Latin American countries among the children under 5 years of age. The second news item to which I want to call your attention was reported by the Associated Press from New Delhi, India. And the writer Conrad Fink says, "India's leaders began today to prepare their people for what could be the worst economic crisis in years. Top-ranking officials revealed impending food shortages may be much worse than expected and that the overall budgetary situation this year will be static at best." A leading newspaper in New Delhi, reporting on the Indian food crisis, stated, "A severe drought ruined crops in many sections of western and central India, but the complete and total picture will not be known until some crops ripening in southern India are harvested. America has already sent more than $3 billion worth of agricultural commodities to India under Food for Peace, in addition to more than $6 million in economic aid. American wheat has been arriving at the rate of 20,000 tons daily, but even this is not enough. and Indian officials are anxiously hoping that Washington will sign a long-term agreement ensuring stepped-up imports. India is girding herself for long, hard winter without sufficient food. The third news item is by the Copley News Service reporting the food situation in Nairobi, Kenya, Africa, and the headline declares, 250,000 facing starvation. The writer begins by saying, famine has struck Kenya following the worst drought in 22 years. More than 250,000 people are facing starvation. Peasant farmers watch in anguish as their crops wither and die. Appeals for help to avert starvation have gone around the world. Many people have answered the call, and every month tons of free maize, the staple food of the African, are being shipped into the country and distributed by volunteer organizations set up to combat the threat. The fourth news item relative to a shortage of food comes by way of the New York Times, and it says in part, Canada has signed one of the biggest wheat sale contracts in history in a deal with Communist China worth at least $400 million. Communist China has almost 700 million mouths to feed, and she too, like many other countries of the world, have been experiencing natural calamities, bringing her food supplies much below par. Only because of the graciousness of other countries of the world willing to sell her wheat and other grains will be able to ward off mass starvation this winter. The fifth news article deserving our attention is one which appeared in the U.S. News and World Report under the heading, The World's Biggest Problem. Of course, this problem is overpopulation of the world. It's directly related to famine because there are more people that can be fed with available food supplies. A serious crisis naturally arises. Overpopulation brings on famine. My reason for bringing these known circumstances to your attention, which no doubt many of you have read in your own newspapers and magazines over the years, together with current reports, is because worldwide famine is directly connected to the overall prophetic plan as laid down in God's Word, the Bible. The Bible was so written by the Holy Spirit as he moved upon men long centuries ago that those ancient secretaries of God were able to look down through the annals of time, often many centuries in the distance, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, and prophetically see in advance certain situations which would take place in the latter days of the Bible's fulfillment. This lack of food situation has been gradually getting worse year by year and has taken a drastic turn in the last few years. In the past, I've commented on this unpleasant situation in the pages of the, as you might say, actually, the Holiness Bibles for Mind website has a lot of information that might even help you about some other topics related to this issue, but really, that's pretty much it right now. As I carefully observed the ravages of famine, I have found that it continues to mount in unbelievable proportions and has seemingly gotten out of hand. Way back in 1961, a report out of Red China and the diet of those people had shrunk 30% in the previous 3 years, and thousands of them were combing the garbage cans at night, trying to find enough food to keep body and soul together. In the past, Soviet Russia has had a difficult time bringing the calorie count of the average Russian up to living standards. The crop failure situation in Russia was one of the straws which broke the back of the proverbial camel for Nikita Khrushchev. When he was their leader, it was partially responsible for him being ousted as premier of the Soviet Union. Russia never produces enough grain for its people. In Africa, thousands of little babies, as well as men and women, perished from 1959 to 1963 because of the shortage of food. In April 1961 issue of the Holiness Bible to the Blind, I published a picture showing a group of little African babies with swollen, bloated stomachs, the result of famine. In more recent issues, similar articles have appeared in the publication. Describing the situation of malnutrition in this connection, Newsweek magazine wrote, First the belly swells, then the hair turns gray, and the skin cracks crazily. After a while, the victim dies in mute misery, and since the victim is always a child, his fate seems so much crueler. But actually, mostly now, I think in Africa is usually the worst place they have for starvation in the world in 2021. According to Newsweek magazine, 10,000 people around the earth are dying from hunger every 24 hours and 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. This report was released in 1966. That figure has increased to 24,000 people per 24 hours. As he was writing his marvelous descriptive apocalyptic literature, John the Apostle saw four magnificent horses galloping across the surface of the earth in the last days. And each one of those horses brought a dreadful catastrophe to that portion of the earth in which it galloped. The lack of food and malnutrition with multiplied thousands of people dying from starvation is circumstantially related to the black horse of the book of Revelation. Writing in the book of Revelation, John fittingly described four chaotic, calamitous situations in the form of four horses, which are to gallop throughout the earth in the last days. May I call your attention to the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, especially two verses relative to the third horse, known as the black horse. This black horse is synonymous with famine. Scripture, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see," and I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny." Revelation 6, 5 through 6 in your KJV Bible. As we students of the prophetic scriptures continue to take a searching look at present-day happenings in the light of God's Word, the Bible, we constantly behold one of the unmistakable signs of our time, famine, taking a continual deadly toll of the inhabitants of this earth. John the Apostle foresaw this calamitous situation coming upon the earth, and he described it very carefully so that we who are living today might not be mistaken in our interpretation of world happenings. Famine is one of the signs of our time. The gnawing pains of ravenous hunger are plaguing better than half of the world's population at this very moment. One half of the world's population goes to bed hungry every night. The black horse of Revelation is already galloping over many continents of this earth today, and because of this dreadful catastrophe, chaotic conditions are being brought upon the earth, bringing premature death and merciless destruction to great portions of the inhabitants of the earth. The almost 24-year-old editorial from the San Bernardino, California Sun very carefully brought this fact to our attention. From the Rio Grande to Cape Horn, in every second coffin carried toward a grave is the body of a child who could live no longer than 5 years. Among children aged 1 to 4, half the deaths are attributable to malnutrition, lack of food. While science and technology have given men new tools with which to improve and enrich their lives, yet 3 or so persons in the world today are seriously undernourished and facing the approaching horror of starvation. With the population explosion increasing in our modern society, there could be no let up in the need of food for the human race. The demand exceeds the supply. The governments of this earth seem unconcerned about this problem. In 1963, 1,200 delegates to the World Food Congress from more than 100 countries of the world met in Washington, D.C. in an endeavor to work out a long-range plan which immediately helps to be put into operation at once, which would ensure every person on the earth an equal share of food. It was suggested by some of the delegates that a World Food Bank be established. Whether you're wholly aware of this proposal or not, the world is heading towards such an ultimate goal. The Bible tells us that during the short reign of the great one-world ruler, known in prophetic scripture as the Antichrist, food has become so scarce that everybody on the earth will be required to secure special permission from the one-world government in order to buy or sell anything. All phases of commerce will come under the strict supervision of that one-world form of government, including the production and distribution of food. Scripture, and he, false prophet, causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Revelation 13, 16, and 17, KJV. From these two verses of Scripture, we're surprisingly able to prophetically see that the world is heading in the general direction of a one-world food bank. Coupled with international calamities such as droughts in Florida, or I mean, not Florida, in floods, is the ever-increasing population explosion, which has become one of the biggest problems in our modern society. The pill doesn't seem to have helped the situation. The human race is doubling in numbers every 35 years. That means that the food supply must also be doubled every 35 years, or there could be nothing but chaotic famine in the world. In the light of these things, we could very readily see the need for a world food bank. Food supplies will become so scarce during the reign of the Antichrist, who will be ruling with a fist of iron during the last half of the seven-year tribulation period, that in order for a person to receive food or any other commodity necessary to human life, he'll be required to have a mark of personal identification stamped in his right hand or in his forehead. This will allow him to enter a marketplace so he can buy. Any person who does not have the identification will be refused permission to buy or sell. That's what the previous scripture reference declared. And he, false prophet, causes all both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Revelation 13, 16, and 17. Therefore, as we continue to observe the unpleasant situation, famine and or food shortage is increasing in the world, we are made to shockingly realize that we must be coming down the home stretch of this present civilization, living in the time known to Bible students as the dispensation of grace. We must be coming to the end of the church age. We're fast approaching the fatal midnight hour, the final culmination of certain Bible prophecies which are to come upon mankind. In the last few years, the fulfillment of end-time prophecies has accelerated to a fast pace. Famine is one of the major signs of our times. It's part of God's overall plan for the last days. A one-world food bank is positive proof that the end of man's day is near and must be approaching the soon second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. While Jesus Christ was here on the earth, he commented on the future world situation by saying, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and then shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places." Matthew 24, 6 and 7. For the second coming of Jesus Christ, there are approximately 257 prophecies written in the pages of the Holy Book. Famine is one of the prophecies. Examine the combined world situations today, and you'll see that probably more than 200 of these prophecies have been fulfilled or are taking place at this very moment. Therefore, as we behold the prophetic word of God being carefully fulfilled in our day, we must be made to soberly realize that these are the times spoken in God's holy word as the last days. These are the days prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. His coming for the church is nigh. Praise the Lord. As we continue to impartially observe world conditions, at the same time, it will be reminded that famine, a shortage of food, malnutrition, is part of the fulfillment of end time Bible prophecy and is according to God's overall plan for the end of this age. We're beholding prophecy unraveling in our day. The black horse of Revelation is on the move. As a Bible teacher, I see nothing missing. The overall program is on schedule. My logical reason for stressing this soul-stirring worldwide situation is to show you that God never takes anybody at a disadvantage. And the condition of famine is God's way of telling the world it's time to get ready to meet Jesus Christ face to face. For the first coming of Jesus Christ, there were at least 196 prophecies clearly written in the scriptures to the people of his day who would be watching and waiting for his first coming. But you yourself will know that Jesus Christ came and the people of his day were not ready for him. They were too busy in their own daily lives to pay any attention to the prophecies of the scriptures, which they had in their possession. Jesus came and caught them unawares. We're now living in the evening of man's day, minutes prophetic speaking before the fatal midnight hour. Make sure that Christ will not come and catch you unawares. May I lovingly suggest to you that you not poo-poo the signs of our times and that you are diligently searching God's word regarding these international situations, and you will see that it plainly tells us these circumstances must prevail. And when they do, we are to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that we're living in the end of this age. This present world system, as we know it today, cannot continue in its present state. There must be a cessation of the world system as we know it. Every indication points to a culmination of this present Gentile world rule. Christ is coming back to bring in a reign of godly righteousness. Back in Noah's day, the people did not believe it would actually rain. But it did rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and everybody in the outside of the ark perished. Bible says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man, Luke 17:26. The average person on the street today does not believe that the second coming of Jesus Christ is near. But regardless of whether people do or do not believe, the Bible tells us that Christ's second coming has already been established in the mind of God and is on schedule according to the permissive will of God. Here's the scripture. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 24:36. Scripture, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Hebrews 10:37. May you not take any unfortunate chances with your eternal salvation, because scripture, neither is there salvation in any other than in Jesus Christ, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12, KJV. A shortage of food is one of the signs of our times. It tells us we are living in the end of this age. The galloping of the black horse across the stage of time tells us the curtain is about to fall on the end time prophetic drama. The next lesson will be Babylon the Great.
And we want to thank you, Ruth, for that great information about the black horse. Amen. But right now, we'll want to pause to hear about the great programming found here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week, what you really want, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
But right now we're back, and I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. How many people do you know that drink anything they can get their hands on, that means whiskey, beer, whatever, any kind of alcohol they could get their hands on, how many people do you know that are like that, and what are they like? How many people do you know that drink anything they can put their hands on, and what are they like? It's that time. It's open mic time.
All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us?
We always have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, and we have you, Brother Jim, and me.
All right, so what I'll do is I'll let you start off with our question of the day. How many people do you know drink it, whatever it may be, whatever, whether whiskey, hard stuff, soft stuff, whatever? And then the second part of the question, what do they like?
Well, right now I really don't know anybody like that, so I guess I could just leave it at that, sweetie.
All right. Well, actually, in a way you do. My family. They'll get their hands on whatever they can get their hands on, beer, whiskey, whatever to get their hands on. And what are they like? Well, you already know that they're not the greatest people to be around. So
they need to find Jesus.
Yep, that's what they definitely need. So that's the answer to that question. So we know quite a few. All right. So, well, Ruthie, since we don't have anybody for questions or comments, we're going to let you give us a closing prayer, and then we're going to close out with a Red Sabine song.
Oh, dear Lord, we hope everyone enjoyed the program tonight, and some people got saved, hopefully, or got healed. And you got me, oh, Lord, and continue on prayer with my back, too. I mean, my dumb thing I did with the tree hurt myself, so now it's going to be a while before I get better, so. Lord, you can preach on that later. All right. Love you so much. And
amen. All right. And we'll catch everybody come Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern here at the Six Eyes Radio Network for the Sunday Gospel Show, only here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. And we're going to close out with this Red Sylvine song. So God bless everybody.
A doodly doo doo, a doodly doo doo. Who is the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel and a picture on the billboard in a field near the big old highway? Rolling down a highway, my Jimmy horns a rig from Chicago to St. Louis, wanna see her every day. Double clutching weasel like me can hardly ever get a girl to look at him that way. Like the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel and a picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. Wow, what a girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel and a picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. I bet it wouldn't take her long to get gone if someone pulled a dirty trick and took her towel away. I slow my Jimmy down to 20, that's how many wrecks I see there every day. So I always find the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel and a picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. I-do-do-do-do-do. I-do-do-do-do-do. Smile and a towel and a picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. I guess I'm getting bolder cause I'd rather kiss and hold her than just people looking at her every day. At 4:45 coffee drinking eating time, Jimmy shimmied while I woke up the artist that painted the display. Of the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel and the picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. Doggone that girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel and a picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. The sleepy-headed painter said the girl wasn't real and I better get the on the way. On Route 66 from the billboard to Chicago, you will find tiny pieces of my heart scattered every which way. Shattered by the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel and a picture on the billboard in the field near the